good to see all of you here tonight to be part of this baptismal service. It's good, and it's good to see you, Sandy. Good to see you, Carl. Looks like you have some fans with you tonight. So what better topic to preach on tonight than baptism? Right, Phil Jones, right? So we're going to look at what is this baptism thing, because some people think that if I get baptized and I'm saved, or if I get baptized then all my sins are forgiven, or if I get baptized then whatever it is. But let's see what the scriptures have to say. So we'll be in a couple, three places tonight. So if you're not sure really what baptism is, we'll be talking about that tonight so that we can kind of get a better understanding. And one of our pieces, it will be in Matthew chapter 28 in the beginning, but one of our pieces this year was we prayed and fasted that God would give us, that we'd be a part of more salvations and baptisms, and we've already had a couple of those salvations already in January, and we had a baptism recently as well. And so God is answering that. So it's exciting because we're not done. And tonight we will do two more baptisms tonight. But Jesus believes it's very important. Baptism is a very important piece. As he is getting ready to ascend into heaven, he's already done the cross, he's already been resurrected, and he's been up on the done his ministry on the earth, and now he's going to resurrect. He has this piece he wants to say, and it's Matthew chapter 28. Many of you have heard it, many of you have not, but it's 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All authority has been given to Jesus. Jesus has the authority, not you, not me. Let's quit thinking that we can tell God what to do. We can't do that. God's in charge, not us. And Jesus says this, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Who gave him that authority? The Father did. The Father gave him that authority. And he says, "Go therefore and make disciples unto all nations." Basically, come to make disciples. That means converting. That means salvations. And so people need to come to Christ. And that's what it is. Go therefore. He's telling his people, his disciples, go out and make disciples. Share the story of salvation, that they become disciples. And then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We do it in the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And then teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth, or the end of the age. So we see here that Jesus, it was very important that people get baptized after they become a disciple. Salvation, baptism, okay? So what we see here, now I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 8. We'll read a story here about someone getting baptized, someone asking about baptism. And we're going to see Philip is going to give some answers. But what's really awesome is God knows things. He knows things that we don't know. He knows who's lost, who's saved, who needs baptized, and he's got somebody that needs to come to Christ and needs baptized. In verse 26 out of Acts chapter 8, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." Sometimes we've been called to do things. We're like, is anything ever going to happen over there? It's like nothing's going on. But God sees all things, and he knows that someone is going to be driving down that road, that desert road, that God wants somebody to meet him. In verse 27, "So he arose, and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet." We see a chariot coming down the road. This would be like a limousine today, because not everybody rode in a chariot. Also, this was a man who was in charge of the queen's funds. Yeah, this was an important man. But he also had something that most people didn't have. He had a scroll. He had a piece. He had a copy. He had a piece of Isaiah. You didn't run around like we do today and have Bibles. You had to be someone of well-known to have a piece of Scripture. We're talking a piece of Scripture. We're not talking about the whole thing. We're talking about a piece of Scripture. And he has a piece of it, but he doesn't quite understand it. How many of you have picked up the Bible and read something and goes, I don't understand? Me too. I have picked up scripture and read it and goes, huh, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, God knows that, and God knows all of scripture, and God has a way of putting people in your life, other things in your life to help you understand. And so he says, Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Need to be encouraged a little bit. Go, go. Here he comes. Here he comes. What? Here he comes. Going over there. Get over there. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. You know, sometimes in life and ministry and opportunities, you only get a moment. That chariot's moving. You got to go now. Or it's going to take off. You got to go now. You got to go share now. You're going to miss your opportunity. This is why the Lord brought him to this specific place in Gaza, this desert strip. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I understand? Someone guides me. And he asked Philip to come on up here and sit. Come up here and sit with me. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. A piece of Isaiah. And he says, he was led to a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened up not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, to whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? So the eunuch was saying, I don't know who he's talking about. But Philip did. Philip did. Philip knew that he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't always know. What's really great is this man just came from worshiping. This man, he has a piece of it. He wants to know what's going on, but he doesn't. It's not all the pieces have clicked for him. And he wanted to know, is the writer talking about himself or another man? Then Philip, verse 35, opened his mouth, and beginning at the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. He began to tell him all about Jesus. He began to tell him what the scripture meant, and it led into other things. Knowing about scripture is not, it is stepping toward salvation, but it doesn't mean you receive salvation. Now, as they went down the road, basically they're going down the road and they're having conversation. And as they have conversation, now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is some water. What hinders me from being baptized? There's water. So they had this conversation that we're not a part of, but you can see that it's there. They had this conversation about this whole thing, about who Jesus was, about baptism, all that. And he said, there's water. What hinders me? What keeps me from being baptized? What's keeping me from being baptized? And then Philip said in verse 37, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. That's an awesome piece. That's an awesome piece. And then it says, Then they came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he began to preach in some other cities. He's just preaching in some other cities. But what happened with this eunuch is that he had come to Christ through salvation and was immediately baptized. And that is what we need to understand, that salvation comes prior to baptism. Okay? Now, some people get saved and they're immediately baptized. Some people get saved and wait for baptism. They want to wait a little bit. They want to understand baptism a little bit more. And sometimes they wait because they want family to be a part of it. It's okay. But Jesus says we need to become disciples and we also need to be baptized. Now in Romans, we're going to find out really what all this really means. So Jesus tells us we need to become disciples and we need to baptize all the nations. We see the story that Philip is going out doing what Jesus called him to do. He's sharing the gospel. People are getting baptized. Now in Romans chapter 6, we see a piece here about baptism. Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. That sounds complicated, doesn't it? To a point that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in the newness of life. So when we are baptized, we go down. So when Jesus was on the cross, he died on the cross, and they put him in a tomb. And so basically it is death, and then we see that through the, he rises again because death couldn't hold him, okay? He is the ultimate sacrifice, as we'll see. But when we are buried into the death. We're buried into death, okay? So when we go down, someone goes down into the water, and it's like we are all going to die a natural death. We go down into the water, but we don't stay there. The Bible says we rise just like Christ rose, okay? So he says the baptism into death, that just as Christ rise from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk into a newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly, we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. This is why when we baptize, we bury in the likeness of his death, but also raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Does that make sense? Before you come to Christ, you sin, but your sins are yours. You've sinned, all the sin that you've done, they're yours. You have them. When we come to Christ, Christ died on the cross, okay, for all sin, okay? He says, knowing this, in verse 6, that our old man was crucified with him. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, we received salvation. As he was on the cross, he was crucified for our sins. The covering of blood covers our sins, okay? And we receive that gift of salvation into our lives. So knowing that this, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be called slaves of sin. For he who died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. So death is not the end for a believer. Amen to that. But when we die in the likeness of his death, just as Christ died, but because the power that God gave, he is raised again, death couldn't hold him, we are following in Christ, and we are also, we'll die, but we will not stay down. There is a resurrection, a second coming of Christ, that will raise us all up. Now, what happens to us when we pass from this earth? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, we're not going to get into all the other things a part of that, but let me tell you, once you give your life to Jesus, let me tell you this, he's got you covered. Amen. You're in his hands, okay? You're in his hands, and we are to follow him in baptism. He also says in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. We follow Christ. We follow him being under God's grace. We're not good enough for salvation. We'll never be good enough for the baptism. We have to follow Christ in the way that he did it. We have to follow Christ, letting him be the power of the Holy Spirit as he dwells in us. As he says that our old self has died on the cross. That's the change. God didn't save you to be your old self. He saved you that you might be in the image of God, the image of Christ, and live out the life he's called you to live, not to live out the life that you desire to live. So we see that the old self was crucified on the cross. And when we get baptized, it is a part of us understanding and knowing that we're following Christ in the baptism. As we said, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Also, the baptism shows us that we are not ashamed of the gospel. It is good to be baptized amongst the brothers and sisters of Christ. It is good to be baptized amongst the fellowship of God's people. Jesus didn't hide from the crowd. He went right out there. In his appointed time, he went out there. Even though he didn't have to, he did. He followed it. And when John the Baptist says, I'm unworthy to baptize you, but he baptized him, but we know that God says he was pleased in his son. He is pleased with his son for being baptized. I believe that when we are baptized, God is pleased with us because we're doing it out of obedience, following, once again, following Jesus' footsteps. You cannot go wrong following Jesus' footsteps, okay? So he was baptized and the Father was pleased. When we follow Jesus, he is pleased. When we come to Christ, when we're sharing the gospel, we're doing what Jesus mandated, that we are to go out and make disciples of all nations and baptizing all nations. Here it is. Salvation and baptism is doing it God's way. When we add all these other things, we begin to do it man's way. And when we begin to do it man's way, we begin to mess it up. And man, all man does is keep adding to the list. He keeps adding to the list of what needs to be done. God's word says it's very simple. We see it in the story. The eunuch says, there's some water. I don't even know if it was clean water. But he said, there's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Because it means nothing to go down and get baptized if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. So I know that Sandy and Carl today are going to be baptized, that they have a relationship with Christ, that they had to come a moment in their life where they gave their heart and their life to Christ. And wanting to follow, there's a part in there where the Holy Spirit begins to convict us that we should want to follow Christ. Amen? How many of you remember your baptism? How many of you remember your salvation? Those were important things, and you remember where you were, and you remember what it is, and you are becoming more and more that person that God wants you to become. It doesn't make you perfect. But don't you want to put a smile on God's face by being obedient? By making the change in your life? Doing it God's way? He says, therefore we are buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And before we do this baptism, I want to reread what Jesus says. He says, and Jesus came and he spoke to them, and this had to be important because it's the last thing Jesus is going to say. This is one of the last things Jesus says. This is so important. When you're talking with someone and you're getting ready to leave, the last words are some of the most important words you're going to say. And Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He's letting them know, once again, I am in charge. This is what I want. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then there's the piece about teaching them. And let me tell you, once again, baptism does not save. Jesus saves. Okay? All right? And I want to tell you, when you come to Christ, you only need to be baptized once. Now, sometimes people get baptized at a younger age, and they would say, I'm not sure. And we have a conversation. Basically, you may have followed because a parent told you to. You may have followed because everybody else was doing it. You need to do it because you wanted to do it. So there's nothing wrong with saying, I want to get baptized. I was baptized at 6, but it just, to me, it wasn't, something was off, and I didn't feel like it was real to me. Well, let's do that. Let's talk about that. Same thing with salvation, okay? The end of that is, you need to make sure you're right with God. That's what it is. And God's right, and you're right with God. But I want to tell you, you don't need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit separately. I know there were some people that believe that. The Bible says you baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they are in unity. They are in unity. They are in unity. This is together. You baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Some people will say you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Did you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Listen, when I was baptized by the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, I got it all. You got it all. You don't have to make anything extra special through it because it's special enough. What did I say? People keep adding things over and over and over. Okay? God's word is enough. Amen? God's word is enough. Now, for all of us tonight, I hope that you have salvation. And if you don't, it'd be awesome for you to receive Christ into your life. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that means you fall short. You can't get it done. But Christ can. If you've been saved and you've not been baptized, God wants you to follow Jesus, his words about getting baptized. And that's something you want to do. Because there's some communion things involved and some other awesome things that God allows us to be a part of. Amen? Communion is awesome. It's awesome. But again, you have to be right with Christ. And the only way to get right with Christ is not to have a conversation with everybody else, but to have a conversation with God himself. And we do that through prayer. And sometimes we need a little bit of help with some other people to help us understand as a eunuch says, I don't quite understand this, and it's okay to ask for help. Amen? And get a little help so you can get what you need to get accomplished. So what we're going to do right now, we'll just have a moment. We'll just go ahead and stand. We're going to have just a moment here. And if you want to come down and you want to pray tonight, you can do that.